Right, so let us start. So good morning, ladies and gentlemen. There is one English-speaking person in this room, so everything is going to be in English. Okay, so this morning's first speaker is Jean-Pierre Nadal. Jean-Pierre started as a theoretical physicist, and now he's doing he's investigating criminality. So statistical physics can lead to a lot of places. He is going to tell us about urban social dynamics.
Thank you. So thank you for giving me this opportunity to present this work. So I will say very little about reaction diffusion. I apologize for for this mistake. But I will present models where one wants to introduce this kind of mechanisms, but I will mainly present results which are obtained without reaction diffusion terms. So the work I will present are based on a collaboration with Henri, Nancy Rodriguez within Stanford, and Laetitia Gauvin, a physicist, and Annick Vigne, an economist. So here I am interested in patterns in social dynamics, and I will illustrate this on two topics with models which are directly related, which are of the same family. One topic is the one of pattern in crime patterns, so the existence of hotspots. So this is a picture of Los Angeles with the level of criminal activity at different locations. And the other topic will be housing market and social segregation. And here you have a map of Paris with a level of price of apartments. And so this is the prices in 1994. But if I was showing a map of today, it would be slightly different, but with global features which are the same. So in both cases, you say, okay, there are patterns, so there is a reaction diffusion behind. But from the social point of view, what we really want to understand is how these patterns depend on social components, and in particular on social interaction between the agents. So I will start by presenting the case of crime hotspot, and then the case of housing market. So the starting point is a theory in developed by sociologists. And in the case of crime, this is a theory of routine activity by Cohen and Felson. And the idea is that in order to have a crime, you need three components. Of course, you need someone who is likely to commit a crime, but you need a target, something to which will be the target by the offender, and you need a lack of sufficient deterrence, or the absence of police, or the absence of someone with a guardian at the location. So you need these three components, and it means that there is some coupling between agent behavior and some properties of the location. And the modeling which I'll present is about this coupling between the spatial property of the locations and the agent behavior. And to start with, I introduce a model proposed by Short and colleagues at Los Angeles, a model in order made to describe the hotspots related to burglaries. And this model implements this idea. So you have a spatial field which describes how much a given house is attractive for a burglar. And this attractiveness has two components, one which is static, at least on the time scale at which you look at this criminal activities does not evolve with time, and this represents some interesting property of the house, whether you will you expect to find in it things which you can steal or not. And there is a time-dependent component which evolves with the activity of the burglar. And this is in particular in order to model the what is called the repeated victimization, the fact that if a location has been the subject of a burglary, it is very likely that in the near future it will be again the subject of burglary. And this is because the burglar know the place, so for him it is easier to come back. And another component is that if he knows this place, he has also some knowledge of the nearby places, so he is likely to visit also nearby houses, so you will have diffusion on this component.
Since we're also emphasizing that this is observed in the data.
So this is observed indeed in the data, and so this is what I say. So and in the model, so you have some dynamics which is put on the burglars, so they wander around in the city from one location to the other, and they arrive at some constant rate, and they decide to visit. House at some time with some probability which depends on the attractiveness of the location. So in the first model, once they have visited the location, they are removed from the city. But you can consider variants of, for example, this is a variant considered by Ashley Pitcher, where burglar remove on the city, but she put some different mechanisms to have a regulation of the number of burglars, and she had some carrying capacity on the attractiveness. So when you take the continuous limit in time and space in this model, you get PDEs here, which are a coupled equation between the attractiveness. So the attractiveness without anything else will relax towards some the intrinsic attractiveness. So if nothing happens, it goes back to this intrinsic value. There is a term which is the diffusion. So the diffusion on the that I discussed before. So you have here the term with the carrying capacity here, and this term is a product of the attractiveness by the density row of burglar in the neighborhood, and so this comes from the fact that if the location has been visited, the attractiveness will increase. And this is a time evolution of the density of burglars at this location, which comes from thinking this continuous limit by acting that burglars goes from one place to the other before visiting a city and arrive at some constant rate. So when you study this model, you get instabilities which are more or less similar to hotspot, and this familiar model is currently studied in detail, in particular in Los Angeles, with a close collaboration with the police department of Los Angeles. So with Henri, we have introduced a different way, a different family of model to look at the same type of problem. And here, we describe the agent behavior by some function S, which is a local and current willingness to act at some location. So this is a time-dependent quantity, which will evolve in a way similar to the attractiveness in the previous model. And the level of criminal activity is a nonlinear function of this willingness to pay. So the highest the willingness to act. So the highest local propensity to act at this location, the highest the criminal activity. So here you have also the so this type of equation, which says that there is some intrinsic propensity to act at this location. So in the simplest case, this is not a time-dependent quantity. You can consider here that it is constant in time, and it reflects the local expected payoff of a crime, for example, or how much the local population is might be the subject of crime because of what is interesting for the criminals. And the current propensity to act is evolving time, so without anything else it will relax towards this intrinsic value. But here you have a cost term, so U is a mean criminal activity at this location. So there is a cost which is associated with deterrence, with the presence of the police or other things, and you can see that as the expected cost seen by the burglar at this location. So the willingness to commit a crime will decrease according to this cost. So of course here, and I will say very few words later, you can add a diffusion, because exactly as in the previous case, the willingness to commit a crime will may diffuse on nearby location due to social influence, but here I will not discuss that in this presentation. So a particular example for the for the nonlinear function is this one. So it is zero if S is negative. So if in that case there is no criminal activity, and then it increases very fast and reach a maximum. So we took for illustrative purpose this particular shape, and we will mainly discuss the case of high beta values, that beta being the slope at the origin, so where the function start to increase. So the simplest things to look at are the fixed point of this equation, and so here you have the intrinsic propensity to act depending on space, which is this black curve. So it has this we assume this shape. So there are locations where it is very interesting for the burglar to commit a crime, and a location where there is nothing interesting for them. And with these dynamics, you get in red the stationary value of the willingness to commit a crime, which is strongly reduced in location where the cost, which is here in blue, is larger than the intrinsic willingness to commit a crime. And what is interesting, so what is obvious is that where the willingness to commit a crime is very large, that is larger than the cost, you have a fixed point with still a very high criminal activity, so you have a kind of hotspot. But what is more interesting is that when the willingness to commit a crime is smaller than the cost, then you still have some illegal activity, but a very marginal illegal activity. So at this fixed point, the willingness to act is positive, but very small. So you have some kind of latent criminal activity that we have called a warm spot. So you cannot get rid of all the criminal activity. It remains at some basic level, very small, but not null. And now you can consider the optimal control for this problem. That is, you can, in the previous illustration, the cost was the same everywhere, but you can put different amount of resources at different location, more policemen at different location. So you can look at what is the optimal choice of the cost given the local intrinsic willingness to commit a crime. And what you get, just to show the result, I mean, it's not difficult to do the analysis, what you get is essentially warm spots everywhere where you would have a hot spot. So when you distribute your resources optimally according to the criminal activity, so here it is a zero level for the local willingness to commit a crime, and you get so the stationary value in red with optimal control. So this optimal value is everywhere very close to zero. So you get this warm spot state at every location. And this is what we call the tepid milieu. So with the, here the idea is that whatever you do, you will never add no criminal activity, but you can manage maybe to have a minimal level thanks to this optimal control approach. Okay, so of course you would be glad to add diffusion. This is why you are here, and I'm sorry, I will skip that. So, but you can ask Henri about work he's doing on a variant of this model with Nancy, where you add essentially some diffusion. So you can add the diffusion on either the willingness to act, if people talk or influence each other, or it could be directly the diffusion on the criminal level of activity. You know that in the neighborhood there is a lot of criminal activity, so you can do it yourself also if it is so easy. So you can consider different variants, and you can put different terms also for the cost term, depending whether it is a population which reacts against criminal activity or whether this is an external force like the police who is acting here. And so in the particular variant they are considering, they study the traveling waves in this problem with interesting results depending precisely on the behavior of the population against or not against the criminal activity. Okay. Oops. Slightly too fast. Okay. So with this family of models, we have a general framework to incorporate different facts which are seen in data and which correspond to the analysis of the sociologist. And it's there are many interesting questions that you can ask from the mathematical point of view on the propagation or not the propagation of criminal activity. If you assume that you have some hotspot somewhere, will the activity diffuse or not in the nearby population? And there are very interesting aspects related in particular to local and non-local diffusion. And this is one of the projects in this ERC program. So this is what I've just said. Okay. So now I would like to present a very similar model, but in the different context of the housing market. And our interest here was about social segregation in cities. And here economist and social approach are mainly about it is called the hedonic prices, which is the fact that the price of a square meter of an apartment will depend not only on some intrinsic variables, like the quality of the apartment, the amenities of the neighborhood, but it will depend also on the neighborhood, the social property of the neighborhood. And one would like to incorporate in the model these different components. So both the quality of the neighborhood from the pure aspect of amenities and the social component in the neighborhood. So the basic idea here is exactly the same as before. We will consider some coupled dynamics between some attractiveness, which characterizes how much an apartment is attractive for a potential buyer, and the behavior of this buyer. And in this attractiveness, we will have a component which is attractive quality of the location, and a dynamical component which depends on the social characteristic of the neighborhood. And this corresponds also to this nice Russian proverb, don't buy the house, buy the neighborhood, which is to say that this social component is actually the strongest element in your preferences when you want to buy somewhere. And what adds some complexity to the problem is that we want, because this is done with an economist, we have to put some real economy in the problem, so we add economic constraint, and this makes from the mathematical point of view, this really makes the problem quite difficult. And we have some data in order to try to compare the result of the model with some empirical facts, and the data are about the real estate transaction in Paris, and we have 10 years of data with which we have certainly more than 10 years of work in order to do something interesting with it. So let me introduce the characteristic of the model. So as in the previous, in the case of the burglars, we have a city which is a lattice. So at each location, you have a certain number of apartments. And so each location is characterized by, as I said, by an attractiveness with an intrinsic part and the dynamical part. And here we assume the same number of apartments at each location. And now the agents have different social categories. So here we consider the income categories. So if you have a larger income, you can buy a more expensive apartment. So each agent is characterized by his willingness to pay, the maximal amount he's willing to pay for an apartment. And we will divide the agents in a finite number of categories. And for some of the analysis, we will consider continuous distribution of categories, but here we do have to introduce this social aspect. We do have to introduce social categories. So we have an infinite number of agents outside the city, and they come at a constant rate. And when they are in the city, they prospect in order to find an apartment. And exactly as the burglars were trying to visit an apartment according to the attractiveness, here the agent try to buy an apartment according to the attractiveness of the apartment. But now, if they want to buy, they must have enough money to buy. So there is the issue of the economic constraint here. So we have to solve at each location, at each time, some local economic equilibrium. You have a certain number of agents who want to sell their apartment at a price which depends on their income level and on the attractiveness of the location, and the agents who come who have some income level and are more or less interesting according to the attractiveness. And the attractiveness evolves according to who settles at the location. And here an additional complication is that the social component is not the same for the different social categories. So you have also to make some assumptions on what are the social preferences of the different categories. You may prefer to live with a neighborhood where people have more or less the same level of income as yourself, or maybe you prefer that the typical level of income is higher than yours because you may expect that the schools nearby will be of good quality, so you want to benefit from that. Or maybe you prefer to be with people who have less, an income level which is lower. And there are contradictory data in economics and sociology about this fact. So, for example, people who have no job prefer to remain with other people in a neighborhood where people have no job, because socially they are better off, even if this means that they are in a neighborhood where it will be very difficult to find a job. On the contrary, people who have larger income prefer to be with people who have very large income. Okay. In any case, in the particular variant we have studied, we have made the hypothesis that agents prefer to live with a neighborhood where agents have an income which is similar or higher than their own income. So the attractiveness, there will be one attractiveness per category, and each one being a spatio-temporal field. And we have a dynamics for this family of attractiveness, which is very similar as before. That is, if nothing happens, nobody buys at some location, the attractiveness relaxes towards some intrinsic value. And when people settle, there will be modification of the attractiveness relative to a given category according to its social preferences. So, of course, we want to add the diffusion of attractiveness in space, but also diffusion of attractiveness in social space. But this is for future work, and we are focused on the analysis of the model without diffusion, mainly because the economic constraints make the analysis already very complicated. So I will not detail that, but again, so each social category is defined by its income level, which gives the maximal price you want to pay for an apartment, and which defines also the price it will decide, the offer price it will decide when he wants to leave his apartment. And this offer price, the important aspect is that it will depend on the mean attractiveness of the location. So you know that your apartment is considered as highly attractive, so you increase the price you ask to the buyers, and we have chosen one particular rule for that. So at the end, if you consider continuous limits, you get a set of equation which couples here three quantities: the attractiveness, and the attractiveness for each given social category K, with again the relaxation towards the intrinsic value here, so possibly the diffusion, the social component, which depends on the hypothesis you make on the social preferences of the agent. You have the density of agents which are settled at a given location. And you have the density of agents of a given social category who are looking for an apartment at a given location. And so F here is a probability to apply for an apartment at a given location, and this probability depends on the attractiveness of the apartment. So you have this equation, which are just writing how evolves the quantity given who is buying, who is coming or leaving. But you have to add an equation for the number here V of agents who are effectively buying at the location, and this depends on the market clearing condition, which depend on the income levels of the buyers and of the sellers. Okay. So this had a highly non-linear aspect in this problem due to this market condition, and I would be very happy to have some insight on how to simplify the model to have a nicer equation in order to go beyond. So in any case, what we have done, so without the diffusion term is to study the stationary state on one side with numerical simulation and mathematically. So it was with this particular hypothesis on the social preferences, it has been possible to fully characterize the stationary state in a regime which is not the regime that you would like to study, which is a non-saturated regime, which means that at every location or most locations, there are apartments for sale, which is not a situation in Paris where you have a saturated market. But the nice thing with this particular limit is that it allows to study, to understand very clearly the role of the social interaction in the market. And we have some semi-quantitative comparison with the data by calibrating more or less the intrinsic attractiveness with some properties of the Paris market. So the main result is that in the non-saturated stationary regime, there is a critical level of the social influence below which you have no social segregation. Everyone can buy an apartment everywhere. And above this critical value, you have social segregation, so it appears a neighborhood where only the richest can buy. So it appears a critical income level. So agents who have an income level larger than this critical value can buy everywhere in the city. And those who have an income level below this critical value have to buy only in some restricted domain. So you have emergence of segregation due to the fact that the social influence term becomes too strong. So even in a non-saturated market, when you have this strong... So when really people buy the neighborhood and not the market for what the house for what it is, you have a social segregation. So in the particular case, if you assume a monocentric city, so the intrinsic attractiveness is decreasing from the center, which is a crude approximation of the Paris situation, then this translates in the fact that you have critical distances. So when you are above this critical value, there is a critical distance from the center. In the center region, you have only the richest, and outside this critical domain, you have the other categories, and of course, the poorest live only at the boundary of the city. But within the central domain, so within this domain characterized by this critical distance, there is no segregation between the richest. So between the richest defined by this critical income level, there is no social segregation. So this is just to give some numerical illustration. So these are the data for Paris. This is a mean transaction price for apartments which are more or less comparable in from their characteristics in surface area as a function of the distance to Notre-Dame. So you see that more or less the price decreased from the center. So this was the data in, I think, 94, no, 2003. And here you have a hotspot at the boundary of Paris. This is a 16th arrondissement where you have a very high price, which changed completely. And at that time, the price was the highest in the 16th arrondissement, which is no more the case now. The prices are still very high, but this is not the arrondissement where you have the highest price. So this is what you have in the model, the mean price as a function of the distance. And an interesting aspect in the comparison with data, if when you look to the mean price compared and the standard deviation of the price, so this is what you have for the Paris market, and this is what we have in the model. So it is not really surprising to have that the standard deviation increase with the mean price. If you are rich, you are less sensible to variation in price. So that you, and when you are poor, you cannot afford a small change in the price. It is a minimal you can pay, and that's it. So it is clear that the standard deviation must increase with price. So it is the case in the model. What is less obvious is that this is an affine relationship. So this does not go to zero. And this is what we get also in the model. In the model where you can explore a range of values which do not exist in the data, we see that it starts with linear behavior from zero. And then there is a point where it breaks and you have a new linear behavior, like in the data. So this, we have not analyzed why you have that. But this part does correspond to the data. And this is to illustrate the distribution of agents depending on the category. So if you have an income larger than the threshold, you can afford to be anywhere, but you prefer to be at the center. So you have more rich people at the center, the density is higher than at the periphery. And if you have an income which is smaller than this critical threshold, then there is a critical distance below which you cannot buy an apartment, but you prefer to be at the center, so you have more people of this category very near this critical distance, and then the distribution of agents decreases. So in red, these are the numerical simulations, and in blue, this is the analytical computation of the equilibrium distribution. So this is illustrated differently here with the density of agents of all the categories. So all the richest have the same profile here. There is no segregation between them. And here you have profiles for different categories, and which means that here you still have some social mixity. At any location, you have some social mixity, but which is moderate. So this analysis has been published in some economic journals. So exactly as for the model on criminality, this is a general framework in which you can put many ingredients. So you can decide, you can change the social component. If you make different hypotheses, you can study different aspects. So for example, something we want to do is to consider the role, for example, of artists in a city. So you have some neighborhood, artists, which is very poor, and artists decide to buy and to live there, and this induces some dynamics, and you get a hotspot. And artists are neither the poorest nor the richest, so they are some intermediate category. So it means that everyone wants to imitate some particular intermediate category. And so this is something we like to study, and it just happens that even what I have presented before cannot be generalized immediately, because the mathematical analysis changed completely. With the hypothesis we have done, the fact that everyone wants to be with people at least rich enough, as rich as him, this allows to completely analyze the stationary state. This introduces some hierarchy which makes the analysis feasible. If you want to live, to be with someone which is in the middle of the categories, the mathematical analysis has to be done completely differently. So even that case becomes much more complicated. So of course we would like we have started to do that, to introduce a diffusion, and then you know you will get instabilities. And this is a way to define gentrification as a reaction diffusion mechanism. So we know we will get it. So the question is to put it in an interesting way. Another thing we want to do is to study the time evolution of prices. So here we have calibrated the model on one particular year. And now it would be interesting to see if we can follow the evolution of the price. So since we have 10 years of data, what ingredient we have to put in order to see how the price will evolve with time. Okay, so this was the support we have for this project. And here's the collaborators. And we'll be glad to have questions and, more importantly, suggestions. Thank you.